Hey, Mel, Bri here. Gotta work from home today because the whole family caught a nasty.
Daddy!
Hey, Mikey! If you're gonna puke, find the popcorn bowl!
But my availability is 110%. Coincidentally, so is my fever. Kidding. Mel, I'm so cold but hot. But I'm gonna get you that budget. Just as soon as...
Mikey! Popcorn bowl!
Press 1 to use Instacart and get your family's sick day essentials delivered in as fast as 30 minutes. Press 2 to keep working. Do not press 2. Just use Instacart, Brian.
What's the first thing you'd do if you'd had more time in the day? Take a nap? Read a book? Talk with a friend? When you know what's important to you, it's easier to fit it into your schedule. Therapy can help you figure that out. BetterHelp offers affordable online therapy that comes to you. Start the process in minutes and switch therapists anytime. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/grow today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/grow.
Dana Carvey and David Spade here.
You might know our podcast, Fly on the Wall.
We decided to do a spinoff called Superfly, and it's fun. It's just two of us riffing on current events, pop culture.
Maestro is an Oscar-nominated movie Bradley Cooper's in, and I'm sure it's a perfect quality, well-done movie, but it looks a little boring. Honestly, I fell asleep during the billboard.
Listen to and follow Superfly on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.
eBay Motors es tu socio seguro. Con trabajo, piezas nuevas y mucha pasión, transformaste una carrocería oxidada con 100,000 millas en un vehículo totalmente singular. Juegos de frenos, faros, lo que necesites, eBay Motors lo tiene. Con Guaranteed Fit de eBay, te aseguras que la pieza le quede a tu carro a la primera o se te devuelve tu dinero. Y a estos precios, quemas llantas y no dinero. Mantén vivo ese espíritu de Ride or Die, baby, en eBay Motors. eBayMotors.com. Solo para artículos elegibles. Se aplican restricciones.
Alrighty, how we doing now? Number 2 of our radio program. That's right, it is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Half of the Elite Eight is set after last night's mayhem in the NCAA tournament. To no surprise, UConn has another blah victory. They beat San Diego State by 30 points. You had a phenomenal back-and-forth game between Alabama and UNC. I was on Alabama outright last evening, so we were able to hit and cash on them. But Armando Bacot got stuffed at the rim. Withers just had a terrible three-point shot. And RJ Davis could not hit a three-point shot as he was 0 of 9 from the field last night. And Grant Nelson was sensational. The North Dakota State transfer in the game came up with the and-one late and then also had big defensive play after big defensive play. You saw Clemson upset Arizona. Clemson was the better team at the jump. Then towards the end of the game, Clemson was just like, Arizona, can you make a layup? No. Can you make a three-point shot? No. And then Clemson had some big pull-away moments late at the end. I thought Arizona was just a stupid basketball team last night. The three-point selection was terrible. You're missing layups at the end. You couldn't even foul. And you let an offensive play for Clemson just get wide open. It was crazy. And then Illinois-Iowa State was just like a good game. It was like a solid game. I don't think there was any big takeaway. But you just know the 1-2 punch in that backcourt for Illinois is just absolutely sensational with Shannon and Domask. And now we'll see if Illinois has what it takes to, I don't even want to say win, but just give UConn a run and give UConn a game. Like Samter, let me ask you this. Illinois, Big Ten champion. Illinois has, you know, is going into the Sweet 16. I thought they were one of the five best teams remaining out of the 16. Like, they were a top five team. What do you think the spread is? Last night, it was 11.5, 12.5. UConn national championship rematch against San Diego State. What do you think the early line is on tomorrow evening's Elite Eight matchup between the Fighting Illini and the Huskies of UConn?
It's definitely still double digits. I'm going to go 10.5.
Definitely.
It's got to be.
UConn, positive.
UConn's won every game by 30 points, and they're not slowing down. I like Illinois. I'm saying 10.5.
It's 8.5 is, wow, the early line.
That's, I'm surprised by that. And listen, I'm glad because Illinois is a really good team. And Illinois deserves that credit. But
you know what that tells me? Now, this is just from my dumb interpretation of gambling. because sometimes I will give you my dumb interpretation of gambling and my feel, and it will get interpreted by people. Oh, that was no pun intended there. That was not an Ohtani jab or anything.
Uh-huh.
But it will get interpreted by people that actually gamble a lot. They'll be like, oh, you have no clue what you're talking about. I think that is Vegas actually feeling confident that the Illini are going to give them a game. Because what is every Tom, Dick, and Harry's kind of takeaway today? And I always try to look at the lines in gambling on what the average person would say, someone that doesn't watch a lot, but they just want to put have some skin in the game and they want to get some action on the game. I think the average fan's going to go into this game and just say UConn's going to wipe the floor with Illinois. And I think that is Vegas begging everyone.
They're trying to entice people to bet on UConn.
UConn. Yeah. And it's weird that Vegas would challenge UConn, and I get it. Like, that's a fair line with the team that Illinois is and the way that they could score the basketball and their big down low with Hawkins and everything, and you got Shannon, you got Domask, but at 8.5? Like, if you would have told me that line was your number 12.5, all right, maybe. Maybe I would think about plussing the points. But at 8.5, it seems so obvious. You got to lay the number. And usually when something seems so obvious in gambling, the opposite does happen. So my early feel on that game after seeing the line is that Vegas is anticipating, not that necessarily UConn will lose, but that this is going to be a close game with about 5 minutes to go.
I even said it yesterday, the 11.5. With San Diego State felt so low to me. It was easy money. So if 11.5
now,
is San Diego State.
There's no such thing as a lock. There's no such thing as a guarantee. I don't want to be like some others at a different network that got into a little trouble saying those things.
Listen, the reality is anytime someone says it's a lock or it's a guarantee, you lose the bet. Mm-hmm. So like we all know in the gambling world, there is no such thing. And anybody who thinks otherwise just doesn't understand how gambling
works.
Oh boy. Uh-oh.
I got breaking news in the NFL. Let me just make sure that this is a blue check mark here. And let me make sure
that a real blue check mark.
That this is a real blue check mark, and this is a real Adam Schefter. Yes, it is. We have a trade in the NFL. The Philadelphia Eagles are sending edge rusher, college classmate of mine, personal friend, Hassan Reddick, to the New York Jets for a conditional 2026 third-round pick that could be a second pick, sources tell ESPN. The 2026 pick becomes a second pick if Reddick has 67.5% playing time this season and has 10 or more sacks. If not, it's a 2023 third-rounder. I know the Eagles had contract issues with Hassan Reddick. You want a new deal, they weren't going to give him one. They got the deal done with Sweat. They got your guy from the Jets in Bryce Huff. But this is a phenomenal move for the Jets. Hassan Reddick, he has had 10-plus sacks in 4 straight seasons, I want to say. And he is an athletic edge rusher. This was a guy that going into the Super Bowl 2 years ago, he was a legitimate Super Bowl MVP, like dark horse pick. And he was great for them in that playoff run, where he knocked out 2 quarterbacks for the 49ers. He was great against the Giants in that opening round playoff game for the Eagles in the divisional round. This is a good move for the Jets. And you know what?
They're giving up a lot, though. I mean, he's clearly going to be playing 67%.
What do you mean?
A second-round pick for Hassan Reddick?
You're all in. The Jets are all in. They have a limited window here with Aaron Rodgers. The Jets have to be all in. This is a move that indicates the Jets are all in. This is a good move for the New York Jets. See, this is what annoys the crap out of me. There's a lot of times where we obsess over these draft picks. Like, who are the Jets picking in the second round that's going to be better than Hassan Reddick? The odds are that's not going to be the case. I commend the New York Jets because they missed out on Clowney. They missed out on Barrett, 2 older veteran pass rushers. This is the move. This is the pivot by Joe Douglas. Phenomenal, phenomenal, phenomenal move. Why? You're not on board with this?
No, listen, as a former Jets fan, yeah, it's a nice move. They've got a lot on that defensive side of the ball, right? They drafted Will McDonald in the first round. They got Jermaine Johnson.
Reddick better.
In the first round. They've got, obviously, Quinnen Williams, and they got C.J. Mosley. They got a lot of, like, defensive linemen and linebackers that can get at the quarterback. So it's gonna add to a great rotation. He's probably going to be their number one guy as far as getting to the quarterback. Bryce Huff I thought was good, but I thought he was overvalued. The guy played like 50% of the snaps, 40% of the snaps. It's a nice move for the Jets. I think it's adding a veteran. And you're right, at the end of the day, when you're all in on Aaron Rodgers, you know, you give up a second-round pick. But here's the thing. Now they have the 10th pick of the draft, right? They can go Brock Bowers. They can go offensive tackle. You really signed two guys. They could go receiver.
Like, let's say.
They could go receiver if one of the big three is on the board.
Let's say this. We get quarterback, 1, 2, 3, and 4.
Chargers definitely going receiver.
You would think. Maybe Harbaugh, though. He likes to build with the big hog mollies up front. He could go with an offensive lineman, but probably would go with a wide receiver. But after that, if the Jets, like, let's say either Neighbors or Odunze are there at, like, 8, and you don't think they're going to get to you at 10, trade up. I have no problem trading up the two spots if I were the Jets to go make a move. I wouldn't. But, man, it is crazy because Hassan grew up in the Camden area, went to college at Temple. It was a walk-on, phenomenal story, top 15 pick by the Cardinals. They didn't use him right the first a few years, then finally used him right the last year. Then goes to Carolina, has a big-time season, then lands the big deal in Philadelphia. You go from a stretch where you're home for 2 years and you played really damn well. Like, last year got off to a little bit of a slow start, but had surgery, had an injury, and that just evaporates, and the Eagles say, oh, we're going to move elsewhere, and we're going to prioritize other pass rushers. Like, you talked about it with Huff. He didn't play a ton of percentage of snaps. And Sweat's very good, and they got the deal done with Sweat. But once they signed Huff, it was either you get a deal done with Sweat or you get a deal done with Reddick, and they prioritize Sweat over Reddick. Kind of stunning, because when I look at the Eagles' defense, their best player the last 2 years on the defensive side of the ball was Hassan Reddick. So it's crazy that he's the odd man out, but it shows you in this league, it's not for long. Now, I think Hassan Reddick could still be an elite pass rusher for 2 or 3 more seasons. But the Eagles are moving on from him and electing to go elsewhere. Kind of stunning.
And it's one of the things you talk about a lot, how, you know, at the end of the day, salary cap's not that big of a deal. They always seem to figure it out and work it out. This is what we're talking about, right? When you're a team like the Eagles, who has just built talent and just loaded your roster with talent everywhere, at the end of the day, once all that comes to a head, eventually you're going to have to make tough decisions and get rid of big players. And the 49ers are going to have to do it. It might be Brandon Ayuk. We don't know. It could be somebody else. They just lost Eric Armstead. They obviously lost out on Eric Kendricks. There's a lot of different pieces that you see. Once a roster gets really built up, you've got like a 2 or 3 year window with that roster. Outside of that, you start losing guys left and right. And that's what the NFL, that's why there's parity, because just when you think a team has hit that apex, they got to get rid of key players, key coaches, key whatever, and then they fall right back down.
And not only that, Howie Roseman, who's a wheeling and dealing GM, he has a team that still has a Super Bowl window, right? He made the big move this offseason, getting Saquon, getting Huff, bringing back C.J. Gardner-Johnson. Does Howie Roseman now use that second-round draft pick? Well, it's a conditional. So a third that could turn into a 2. Is there any – can they trade that pick? Can you trade a conditional draft pick where, like, you trade it to a team and you say, hey, this is a third, but it could turn into a 2, but maybe you use your other second or third rounds that you have that you know to maybe move up in the draft as well. So I wonder what else Howie Roseman has up his sleeve here, or if what you're saying, this is just I don't want to say a cap casualty, but just a position overload casualty where – you made other moves, and then someone had to be the odd man out here.
And I'm just going to say it again. On paper, outside of the 49ers, the Jets roster rivals anybody else's in the NFL. On paper. The 49ers are the exception to the rule. The 49ers roster might be the best I've seen in 20 years. Outside of that, the Jets roster equals anybody else's in the NFL.
You are slobbering over the Jets roster. And I want to be clear when I say this.
On paper.
The Jets have a good roster. I'm not saying that this is a great roster. Their offensive line hasn't been fixed in 5 years. I know what you're going to say. They brought back Moses, and they brought in Smith, but Smith's never healthy. So you are one injury away to Smith to being back in the same cluster you-know-what that you were last year. And it's great that they brought in Mike Williams, but that's another guy that is incapable of staying healthy. So you see, the Jets have a good defense. This move for Reddick is a great move, but we do overrate the Jets defense a tad little bit, where it's a very good defense. I'm not ready to say that they're great, but offensively, you need Rodgers to stay healthy, because Rodgers staying healthy will be the defense's best friend, because they've had garbage after garbage at the quarterback position. This is a good roster. The Eagles have a better roster, though. The 49ers have a better roster.
I'll give you the 49ers.
So, like, just for starters right there, there are teams that have a better roster than the Jets. The Jets are, they're a good team. They're a solid, they are a good team. But if you tell me the Jets missed the playoffs this year, I wouldn't be shocked whatsoever. You would be shocked if the Jets missed the playoffs?
The only way the Jets missed the playoffs this year is if multiple players get hurt, like key players get hurt, like Aaron Rodgers gets hurt again.
Or the AFC is just loaded.
Yeah, that's part of it too. But I think with this roster, as long as if, and again, on paper, there's a lot of question marks. Mike Williams gets hurt all the time. Tyron Smith is hurt all the time. Morgan Moses, he can either be really healthy or hurt a lot. So you just don't know. Elijah Vera Tucker's been hurt a lot. Aaron Rodgers is coming off an Achilles. So
it's a good roster. I'm not saying it's a bad roster. Yeah,
on the defensive side, their guys for the most part stay healthy. On the offensive side, there's a lot of injury questions. If for the most part the Jets stay healthy and they don't lose a bunch of really key players, yes, I think the Jets will absolutely make the playoffs, and I would be shocked if they missed the playoffs, barring, again, major injuries. I will put this Jets roster on paper up against the Eagles any day.
Stop.
Any day.
Stop. The Eagles have so much more offensive talent than the Jets, it's not even close. You have Garrett Wilson and Aaron Rodgers.
And Breece Hall. And, most likely, Brock Bowers.
Well, you don't even, you can't, see, this is what you can't say that they're getting Brock Bowers until they take
him. Fine, if they don't get Brock Bowers, you're going to have the second or third best tackle. And if they don't get the third best tackle, they're going to have a star wide receiver.
The Eagles have solidified weapons on offense. A.J. Brown is a top five receiver in the sport. Devontae Smith's one of the best number two wide receivers, could be a number one wide receiver on more than a handful of teams. More than two handfuls of teams. Dallas Goedert is a criminally underrated tight end. They have Saquon Barkley. And, oh, yeah, here's the thing that you're missing.
He's an underrated tight end, but he's still, like, the 15th best tight end.
That's a stupid take by you, but whatever. And here's the thing. They have a solid offensive line. They still, even with—
And they just lost their Hall of Fame center.
Yeah, and guess what? They still have three or four Pro Bowlers on that offensive line.
And then we'll go to the defense. Fine. You know what? You want to say the Eagles' offense is slightly better than the Jets?
It's sure. Better.
A healthy Aaron Rodgers is also better than a healthy Aaron Rodgers is also better than Jalen Hurts. So quarterback is significantly better.
Yeah, but it's not
better.
Like Jalen Hurts
I'll
is some
scrub. I'll also
take
Breece Hall over Saquon.
You see, this is why you are such a fraud. You know what? You see this Chiefs hat right here? You are not allowed to wear this. This is not allowed to be in the studio. It's nothing against Kansas City. But you keep on saying, I'm not a Jets fan anymore. I'm a Chiefs fan. You are such a Jet homer. I'm not telling you the Jets roster is bad. It's a very good roster. But the Eagles have accomplished things. The Jets, they wish they are
the
Eagles.
I'm not saying the Jets are a better team than the Eagles. I'm talking about—
You just said they had a better roster.
Roster is different than quality of team. Because you're talking about coaching. You're talking about leadership. You're talking about a variety of things. On paper, the Jets roster, player by player, position by position,
is not better than the Eagles.
Is on par, if not better than the Eagles.
You want to know?
And by the way, Dallas Goedert, 16th ranked tight end.
Yeah, he was hurt last year, you dummy. He was hurt last year. Anyone could go read stats. All right? And I'll tell you this. I wouldn't even say the Jets roster is better than Cleveland, too. Cleveland has a criminally underrated roster. The Jets have a better quarterback, but Cleveland has a better roster than the Jets. Josh Pastor joins us next. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports. All righty, rock and rolling on this Friday. It is the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio. Always love talking to my next guest, the former head coach of Georgia Tech and Memphis. That is Josh Pastor, kind enough to join us right now on CBS Sports Radio. Coach, always great to see you. Thanks so much for doing this, and how you been?
I've been doing great. Thanks for having me. I've enjoyed this year doing television and being part of the media and not coaching in a sense. But I do miss coaching, but I've loved being part of the media and doing television. I've had a blast this year. It's been fun and been able to watch a lot of great basketball along the way.
You know what it's like to have success. You know what it's like, obviously, naturally in coaching to not win these games. Arizona, everyone thought, and we know how close that school is to your heart, that they were going to get the job done last night. When you take a look at it the next day, what stood out to you the most in the disappointing performance by Arizona last evening?
Well, what I would tell you is in the tournament, what makes the tournament so fantastic is the thrill of victory and the agony and the abrupt ending in defeat, if that makes sense. Because when it's over, it's done with, and it happens so fast, and it can be agonizing just on the fact alone that you're thinking Final Four, you're thinking national championship, you have this tremendous regular season. But Zach, what is everything is said? It's the road to the Final Four. All the marketing, all these slogans, it doesn't say the road to the regular season. It doesn't say the road to 28 wins. It doesn't say the road to top 10 ranking. So everything's about the Final Four. And when you don't get there in a position like Arizona had, being a two seed, a great opportunity on the in the West, possibly going to Glendale, Arizona for the Final Four. You know, those things, you know, you don't live those down. It makes you sick to your stomach. It makes you sick to your stomach for a long time. And look, Tommy Lloyd has done an incredible job at Arizona. He's won a whole heck of a lot of games. He's been in great positions. He'll be back there to have opportunities to be knocking on the doorstep of the Final Four. But there's no doubt this one's going to hurt for a long time because they were set up to have a great opportunity to get to Glendale, and who knows what could have happened.
In the first round, the two teams I were mystified by were obviously Auburn and Kentucky. And it's not that they just lost. It was how many easy opportunities that they had right at the rim, missing layups, missing dunks. And then you see that kind of carry over last night with not only Arizona, who couldn't hit a three, who couldn't hit a layup, but then also UNC with Baycott missing a dunk. I've never seen a tournament like this where so many teams have just missed so close to the basket, whether it's hitting the rim or just missing what I would think are easy layups, but are probably tougher than what people would think just watching on the couch.
Well, two things to your point. Number one is that dunk that Baycott missed yesterday or last night was a big miss. If you notice the time and the score of the situation, it was a big swing for him to miss that. I mean, that's demoralizing and deflating for the team, for the player. I mean, it can take the air out of you, and I think it did that to Carolina. But to the second point on what you said, and it's a very good observation by you, as you mentioned about Auburn, as you mentioned about Kentucky, as you mentioned Carolina, and in Arizona last night missed a lot of three-point shot attempts. But to, for example, to beat a team like UConn, or to beat a team like Purdue, or to beat a team like Houston, or to beat a Clemson or an Oakland or a Yale, you know, or in Alabama, it's almost like a football analogy, Zach. You've got to control the line of scrimmage. And what's the line of scrimmage in basketball? You've got to win the points in the paint battle. You got to not turn it over, and you've got to win the rebounding battles on both ends, offensively and defensively. You've got to have a combination of all three. And then it starts with winning the points in the paint battle and not turning it over. And I guarantee you, if you looked on those games that you just mentioned, the teams with those losses, they did not control the line of scrimmage. And it's very similar in football. If you don't win the line of scrimmage, it's hard to win against an opponent that's darn near equal or a little better than you. And that's why to beat a UConn, to beat a Houston, to beat those type of teams, as I mentioned, you know, teams are going to have to win the line of scrimmage. And what is the line of scrimmage in basketball? That's points in the paint, to your point, making layups, making short shots, controlling the boards, and then most importantly, not turning the ball over. Last night, to start the game versus Arizona Clemson, I mean, Clemson had 11 points off of Arizona's turnovers right at the beginning part of the game. And those things end up just biting you in the rear when you're at that point and you're trying to advance, and every possession, it's so hard to win, and every possession is so magnified. It's all about, as you mentioned, controlling the line of scrimmage.
Josh Pastor here with us. UConn knew what the goal was before the season started, and they were absolutely dominant in the regular season. And when you have a long winning streak, I think the pressure only intensifies. I look back in February, I think the best thing to happen to them is that they got blown out up against Creighton. Not that they needed it, but I think it just kind of makes you focus more in as a program. It actually gives a coach something that he can actually be critical about it. It's not just something that maybe you're exaggerated. What do you think that loss did for UConn? Because going into this tournament, I don't see how anyone beats them. And now knowing they're in the Elite Eight, and I have a lot of respect for Brad Underwood in Illinois, I still don't know how anyone beats UConn.
Yeah, here's what I would tell you. You're right. That loss that they had versus Creighton was they got kind of punched in the mouth, and I think it allowed them to kind of recenter and maybe re-listen to Coach Hurley. I mean, if that's in a way, I'm not a big believer that there's no good things coming out of losing. When you know everyone says, "Well, that could," but maybe for that situation, based on that team, that could have been a positive. I think the only way UConn is not winning this tournament. And again, I've picked Houston to win the whole thing. I love Houston. But when you watch what UConn is doing, it's hard to pick against them. And initially, I thought even coming into this tournament, I thought Iowa State could give them a run for their money in the Elite Eight. Obviously, that's out with Iowa State losing. What I would tell you is this. I think the only way UConn is not winning is if it's a close game in the tournament, meaning that if it's under 3 minutes, under 2 minutes, and you're in a one or two possession game. Why is that? Because in the last nine games of the NCAA tournament, they have completely destroyed, smashed teams. They've had all stress-free games. There's been no stress they've had. And now you're down in the final three games to do something that is to win a championship is rarefied air. To try to go back to back is in another stratosphere. And you're three games away from that. And they know it. They feel it. The players know it. They're on social media. You can't hide it from them. Coach Hurley knows it. You know, they win another chance. He's going to the Hall of Fame. I mean, there's a lot at stake. The only way I don't think they're winning it is if it becomes a possession game, because they haven't been in one of those in the tournament, and they haven't been in one of those in a long time. In fact, Coach Hurley said last night in his press conference, we're just not real good in close games. That's why we just want to smash everybody in the margin of victory. So that's going to be the key. Can they handle a close game situation? Let me tell you this. I was part of the Arizona team that won the national championship in 1997. We were the best team coming back in 1998, and we lost to Utah in the Elite Eight to Rick Majerus. They played that triangle in two. We couldn't make shots. And I say all that to say we got a little tight. We knew what was at stake, the pressure. So I think that's what UConn has to avoid, because they are so close to reaching that more than a rarefied air type of feat, something that's, as I mentioned, another universe to do that in sports in general. Forget just college basketball, just in sports in general, of all sports. So can a team hang close within 2 to 3 minutes in a possession game? Will UConn be able to handle that and not get themselves tight or you know, wired in a way where they just feel the pressure and it doesn't go their direction?
Coach Josh Pastor here with us. You know, it's kind of funny the way that you just threw it out there, because we were talking about Kentucky and Auburn, and right, those are the Cinderella teams, like an Oakland and a Yale, your traditional Cinderella teams. But it's almost, and I know it's not going to be looked at this way, but every team in this tournament to UConn, it's like a Cinderella story. And you know what it's like when you're in one of those games and you're in these neutral site. I know they're going to have everyone pulling for them in Boston. But you get into those games, and if the Cinderella team's alive with 5 minutes to go, the entire building flips and pulls for Cinderella. Like, I know that's disrespectful to say to Houston and Duke and all these other schools, but everyone in this tourney feels like Cinderella to UConn.
No, I think you're right. You're right on that. And you know what's interesting? Me doing the work that I've done in TV, being up in the Northeast, the different networks that I've worked with, all the different networks, there's a lot of, I've realized in the Northeast, there's a lot of Syracuse fans and there's a lot of UConn fans, you know, and so you're 100% right. They're going to have the building filled with UConn fans for the majority part. However, if it gets tight and it comes down and things are not going their way, you're 100% right. Even though the crowd might be the minority of the Fighting Illini and the Illinois fans, they will be loud and can overtake that arena just based on the enthusiasm and excitement, because people like to see the champion knocked off. That's just the reality in sports. I mean, people want to, that's why it's so hard not only to win a championship, but to try to go back to back. And you're exactly right. So whether that happens in the Elite Eight, semifinals, or finals, But right now, UConn, I'm just telling you, I don't see the weakness of them other than what the situation is just if it's a close game, because Zach, they haven't, I mean, look at the margin of victories that they've had in the tournament over these last year and a half, the 2 years they've been in. It's just, you don't.
But we said it the other day, is anyone going to be able to get within 10 points against them?
No. And then you've covered back, you know, this, you always have to go through a game where it's like just a grind out. You're not playing well. It's an ugly game. You get, you're down like the last minute and you
not
somehow miraculously, they haven't encountered that yet, which is incredible.
You know what it was? It was Northwestern. They didn't shoot well and they still won by 20 points. That's how dominant they are. It's crazy.
That's a great point. I mean, it was over. They didn't play well. I don't think they played well. And it was literally Danny Hurley had stress. He got his son in the game. You know what I mean? It was a stress-free game. I mean, it's not normal. This is not a normal occurrence of how UConn is accomplishing what they're accomplishing. So credit to Coach Hurley and his staff.
I want to ask you about Coach Cal at Kentucky. We know he's coming back. That was announced the other day. What does Cal need to change to win a championship again at Kentucky?
Well, look, I would tell you this. I was telling everyone, people are asking me left and right. I'm like, first of all, they're not firing Coach John Calipari. I mean, he's owed almost $34 million. And it was going to fire John Calipari, which was not happening, which would have been ludicrous to happen. It was impossible to happen. But I told people to if they were going to let him go, that's a $50 million deal, because you have to pay John Calipari. Then you've got to buy out a new coach. Then you've got to pay the new coach and his – not happen. That's $50 million when it's all said. No, not happening. So here's my thing. Look, everyone thought Kentucky had a real shot this year because of their talent level. There were some games where they were fantastic. There's no doubt about it. And Jay Wright mentioned it on, after the Kentucky played, and other people have mentioned it. Look, he's not going to recruit the best high school players in America. And when people say, hey, don't recruit those guys, he's going to recruit those guys, because if he doesn't, they're the best players in America. Somebody's recruiting them. Duke's recruiting them. He's recruiting them. UConn's recruiting them. But he has to get older guys along with those guys that are really good shot makers. He's got to get shot makers from the perimeter. And I just think, look at a guy like Reed Shepherd. He's really good. He's probably a lottery pick, but he did not play real well in that game. He maybe froze up. He just didn't play well. He's a freshman. DJ Wagner was the Wagner kid was the number one recruit in the country. He didn't look like he belonged on the floor versus Oakland, if that made sense. My point being is it's just, you've got to have older guys with him. I think that's the biggest thing. And people say, well, he's had that in the past. Yeah, but it's more so than the front court. He's got to have really good older perimeter guys. And I think he's going to make that adjustment in some of the guys that he can recruit this offseason that's in the portal. I would expect him to he knows that he's got to get back to the Final Four, and he's going to be as motivated as ever to do that for next season.
Last thing I'll ask you, Coach Josh Pastor, when you look at the four games tonight, NC State, Marquette, Gonzaga, Purdue, Duke, Houston, Creighton, Tennessee, using your coaching cap, what's your biggest takeaway? What's the biggest thing you're most excited to see play on out tonight?
Well, look, I think there's a lot of good games. I think the two games that stick out, of the four, one is Purdue-Gonzaga. Gonzaga's playing really well, but just like UConn trying to win back-to-back, think about the pressure on Purdue. They've got the best player in the country in Zach Edey, two-time National Player of the Year. We know what happened last year, them having the early exit. It's for Purdue, they back-to-back Big Ten champions. We all know in the basketball community, Matt Painter is one of the greats to do it. They've had such great success, but as I mentioned earlier, you are judged on what you do in the road to the Final Four in March. They've got to get to Glendale, Arizona. So there's a lot at stake, and taking advantage of having the very best player in college basketball on your team. Their two guards, Braden Smith and Fletcher Lawyer, are older. They're not freshmen. Braden Smith's one of the top point guards in the country. I think watching that game is a big game, because Gonzaga's been playing at a high level. Because everyone picked McNeese State as a possible team that could beat them, and they kind of just have run through teams right now. Gonzaga in this late stretch here, they've been really, really good, and Purdue's been good. I mean, they demolished Utah State, which was a really good Utah State team, And the second game that I think that's really intriguing is NC State Marquette, because of two reasons. NC State was about 10 days ago. Kevin Keats, who I love dearly and should never have been on the hot seat, was on the hot seat.
Yeah. Now he's got an extension.
He might get a lifetime contract the way this is going. So, you know, and they're really hot right now. And I think Marquette's really good. But DJ Burns,
stud.
You know, he's a unique, unorthodox, outside-the-box type of matchup because of the way he plays, where he catches the ball, how he can pass, his feet, his hands. So I think those two things are intriguing. Look, all four games are going to be really good, but I just those kind of storylines for tonight will be the most interesting for me.
Coach, always great to catch up with you. Appreciate the time. Thanks so much. Be well, all right?
Anytime. Thanks so much. Thanks for having me.
You got it. There he is, Coach Josh Pastor, joining us. An extensive breakdown of the games yesterday and the games coming up tonight. I can't wait personally for Creighton, Tennessee. I think that's going to be the best matchup of the four games this evening. And I kind of like Duke to pull off the upset against Houston. But as Luke Hancock was saying earlier, and even as Josh Pastor said, it's about controlling that line of scrimmage. We want to see how Duke's going to be from a physicality standpoint. We'll come on back with a news brief. Update time first. Here he is, the Act Man, Rich Acker.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
What's the first thing you do if you'd had more time in the day? Take a nap? Read a book? Talk with a friend? When you know what's important to you, it's easier to fit it into your schedule. Therapy can help you figure that out. BetterHelp offers affordable online therapy that comes to you. Start the process in minutes and switch therapists anytime. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/grow today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/grow.
Hey, everybody, I'm Mark Schanowski, along with one of the NBA's most popular analysts, Stacey King. We're inviting you to join us on the Gimme the Hot Sauce podcast.
So join us every week here in the Hot Sauce Studios, where we'll be talking about basketball, football, MMA, entertainment, and unique viewpoints from a group of sports experts having a few brews. That's right. Listen up on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.
Daily news brief. We get you caught up on the rumors, reports, and reconnaissance from the day in sports.
Time to ask the pros, where you, the listener, get to ask us a question. It's brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Simply tweet your question at CBS Sports Radio at Zach Gelb using the hashtag Ask the Pros. Be listening later in the show, and we might answer your question. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Let's start with Michael Penix Jr. He had a really, 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 really good pro day. Is it like anything that we have to freak out about, though? Like, all these pro days, they're so idiotic. Like, if your opinion actually changes about a player from a pro day, you need help. But he did run a sub-4.6 40-yard dash. Let's listen up to Michael Penix Jr. what NFL teams will get.
They're going to get a guy that's going to help lift the team up, you know, help elevate everybody around them. You know, that's why I feel like I've been able to do it two different places. And I've been super blessed to be able to have great players around me, you know, to help up my game, you know, continue to allow me to become better day in and day out. So I'm just super blessed, and they're going to get a winner.
It's weird because no one ever wants to fall in the draft, but Michael Penix Jr. is just getting projected as the fifth best quarterback in this draft class. I think he's better than that. I think falling for him, though, to kind of what he said on the back end, was not going to be the worst thing in the world. Because let's say Minnesota can't move up. If you could then land in Minnesota with Jefferson and Addison, win. If you could land in Seattle, I know they just traded for Sam Howell, and they have Geno Smith, but if you could eventually land in Seattle and be with Tyler Lockett, DK Metcalf, and Jackson Smith and Jigba, win. Even the Raiders, who need a quarterback, and you still have Devontae Adams, win. Like, if you were the third pick in the draft, you're going to the Patriots. The Patriots have nothing right now. So I don't think falling is going to be the worst thing for Michael Penix Jr., even though it is tough to handle. Let's listen up to Brian Kelly. He was talking about his family and one of his former players that is a part of the LSU family, as he just came out of nowhere with this accent, Brian Kelly. He was talking about Jaden Daniels. And he left us a little piece of information in this entire clip that we're going to play for you right now.
He is going to be so committed to taking care of himself that you don't have to worry about size or he doesn't weigh enough. Lamar's done a pretty good job with his size. I think Mahomes, I wouldn't consider him a giant because he's going to get the ball out to the playmakers and make plays for Washington.
Well, he's making plays for Washington. So he's going from the Arizona State family to the LSU family to now the Washington Commanders. We are Commanders. Bum, ba-dum, bum, 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 bum. And they're family. That's what we're getting with Brian Kelly's former quarterback. Now, do you think he knows something, Samter? Does Brian Kelly know something when he says the Commanders and Jaden Daniels, or is that just him gassing up his player?
Either he knows something, or I had to hear the whole interview. Maybe he was just talking about Washington and just had it in his mind, and they asked him a question about Washington. I don't know, but it does sound like he knows something. And, like, Washington is the number two pick, so it's not like
this
is a team
foreign
that has to make a move to get him. They have the number two pick, so, like, maybe they've just said, hey, Jaden, we're taking you number two.
So Tari Eason hasn't played a game for the Rockets since January 1st. Rockets are on a 10-game win streak. They're right on the Warriors. And then Tari Eason released this video, Warriors come out to play. And that's epic movie clip just haunts Michael Samter. Well, Draymond Green's never afraid to give an opinion. Draymond Green was on the Draymond Green Show via the Volume Network, and this is how he responded to it.
When I saw it, I wasn't surprised at all. I am a little surprised that he hasn't played in the game since January 1st. And so it's kind of tough to come out yelling, come out and play, and you're not going to play. It puts a lot of strain on your guys. Like, you can't get out there and help them.
Oh, that's rich. That is rich. And you want to know why? There's a lot of irony in that. Because Draymond, there's a lot of times you're missing from action, not because of injuries, just because of your stupid actions. And your teammates now have more pressure on them because of your stupidity. And I don't know. Did we just see this recently? Did Draymond just get ejected from a game and then he made Steph Curry cry because of the ejection? Does that not put more pressure on Steph Curry? So, man, the irony of Draymond Green being the messenger there on putting more pressure for stupid things being said on your teammates. Man, that is gold. Absolutely gold. Here is the worst commissioner in sports right now. It's a tie. It's him and Spineless Silver. But here is Rob Manfred on High Heat with Christopher Mad Dog Russo, where we know Manfred's only going on a spot that's an easy landing spot for him, where Russo will just compliment the commissioner all the time and then go after me, where he's like, oh, and the Zach Gelbs of the world always ripping Rob Manfred. Here is the commissioner on the Shohei Ohtani investigation.
It's really difficult for federal authorities to cooperate with us fully when they have their own ongoing investigation. So I think this is one where we'll have to proceed on our own.
Can you make people talk to you?
Look, we never have the kind of authority that law enforcement people have, but we managed to get these investigations done and find the facts, and I'm sure we will on this one.
And this is going to take a long time? You expect this months or short? What do you have there?
I hope short. I hope short, but I just don't know.
Rob Manfred is the kick the can down the road kind of commissioner. That's what he's going to do. He's going to kick the can down the road here because he doesn't want anything else that would to come out about Shohei Ohtani, because then if something does come out about Shohei Ohtani that's extremely negative, he's going to have to suspend the biggest star in the game. Here is Pat Kelsey, the new head coach of Louisville basketball. He was the third choice for this job, and he made a little joke about it to try to win over the Louisville faithful.
I'm just praying that she doesn't hit the transfer portal. The good news, I was her third choice, and that worked out really well, so feel really good.
And he's talking about his wife. So that's some pretty good stuff. Oh, I was her third choice, and, you know, she didn't hit the transfer portal. That's a good job.
And he was the third choice for Louisville.
Yeah, he was. Man, did I nail that higher? I said Scott Drew, Dusty May. No, then it will be Pat Kelsey. And that's exactly what happened. They had a little tango for a little bit with Richard Pitino. I don't know if Richard Pitino said no. I don't think he would say no. Or if that was just something that was floated out there and maybe you try to throw your name in there even though you're not going to get the job just because of the Louisville connections. With he was there when his dad was the head basketball coach at Louisville. All righty, that's a news brief. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. We will take a time out. It'll be a five-minute break. You're in a five-minute break. And when we return, will Bryce Young have a bounce-back season for the Carolina Panthers? And when do you know when a quarterback is a bust? We've seen a lot of QBs be busts. When can you actually say it, though? We'll be back.
What's the first thing you do if you'd had more time in the day? Take a nap? Read a book? Talk with a friend? When you know what's important to you, it's easier to fit it into your schedule. Therapy can help you figure that out. BetterHelp offers affordable online therapy that comes to you. Start the process in minutes and switch therapists anytime. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/grow today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/grow.
Hey, everybody, I'm Mark Schanowski, along with one of the NBA's most popular analysts, Stacey King. We're inviting you to join us on the Gimme the Hot Sauce podcast.
So join us every week here in the Hot Sauce Studios, where we'll be talking about basketball, football, MMA, entertainment, and unique viewpoints from a group of sports experts having a few brews. That's right. Listen up on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.